Let us say number 50 in the white book. Number 50. We've sung those first two verses. How many of you have done any of those things? When I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made. How many of you, when you came up to Pilgrim Camp, now I don't know where you all live, maybe you live in a much more beautiful place than Pilgrim Camp. Any of you live in a much more beautiful place than Pilgrim Camp? Yeah. You look out over the lake. I don't know what you think of when you look over the lake. What do you think? You think, wow, that's pretty. That's beautiful. Some of you, and I can still feel it, we were out in the canoe this morning, and for some of you it was a pretty harrowing experience. For others it was more pleasant. But we went back into the swamp, and you see the lily pods growing there, and you look up and you see the mountains over there, and you just are overwhelmed with the creation all around you. Somebody told me that one night here at camp, they went out onto Watch Rock, and they just looked up in the sky. When I do that at home, I don't see very much of anything, maybe some smog and a lot of lights. But you look up in the sky, and they were watching the shooting stars. I guess Sister Mary gets used to all that. No, huh? I hope not. You know, we can. But that's all the wonderful creation and the beauty of God. That's what we've been singing about. I hear the birds. I hope we don't hear too much rolling thunder, but we did hear some of that the other day. And even that is majestic in its own right. There's so much that we just are amazed at the greatness of our God. And we can praise Him simply because of who He is as our Creator and creating everything around us. We look and we see the handiwork of God, and we don't just think, bang, and here it all came to be, but we think God just made this all. He just spoke this all into creation. It's a marvel. But as the song goes on, it just gets better. I mean, there's enough in those first two verses for us to stop and to say, Jesus, we thank you. What a wonderful creator. What beauty you've created all around us. How majestic. And yet that third verse, and I guess the songwriter was overwhelmed too when he wrote, but when I think that God, his son, not sparing, the one that spoke stars into existence, the one that spoke this whole creation into existence, and that very one, Jesus, came down and condescended and walked on this earth to become our Savior. When I think that God, his son not sparing, send him to die, I scarce can take it in. I don't know how you feel about all that, but I could identify a little bit at least, maybe with the songwriter. When I think about who Jesus is, and then what he was willing to become, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, made in the likeness of sinful flesh. And then in that flesh, he condemned sin by dying on a cross. Can you take that in? I scarce can take that in. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing? He didn't have to. He did it gladly. He bled. He died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul. You know, the mountains sort of just, to me, they get a little smaller. The beauty all around me gets a little less beautiful when I look at the one who gave himself for me. And I see him, and that, I think, causes everything else to pale in comparison, as beautiful as it is. When we get to see Jesus, 10,000 charms around him shine, but best of all, I know he's mine. And I'm pretty sure that's the experience, if not of every one of us, at least of most of us. We can sing this song intelligently, not because we know how to read, but because we've experienced it in our hearts. It's become our portion. I scarce can take it in. And then, I mean, if you think the third verse, and I do think the third verse is tremendous, then you got the fourth one. Ay, ay, ay. The fourth one. When Christ shall come. Oh, you mean I could get out of all these mountains finally? Yeah, because the mountains is beautiful and the lake is pristine and the swamp as nice as it is and all of the creation, and it's a marvel. It's a marvel, the creation of God. He's gone to prepare a place for us, and I don't know what that's going to be like. Do you have any idea? I can't imagine. I can't remember. Somebody said he took 7 days, 6 days to create heaven and earth, and he's been working on or create the universe here. He's been working up in heaven for how many years now? Imagine what that's going to be like. I don't think he's been up there creating all this time, but I believe it's going to be more wonderful than we could ever imagine. I don't know what it's going to be like. But Christ is going to come with a shout of acclamation and take me home. Home. Home isn't New York City, or is it? Home isn't California, or Chicago, or Boston, or everybody's from a different state, a different county, a different part of the region of the United States, or the world. But home isn't that. Is that home for you? We're just pilgrims. We're just passing through for a little while. Home is heaven. And one day we're going to be home. Oh, what a day that will be. When I go home. Now, I don't want it to be today. I miss my grandkids already. They just left a few hours ago. I don't want to leave them for so long. I want Jesus to come. That's the way I want to go home. And one day he's going to come back. With a shout of acclamation, the trump's going to sound, the dead are going to be raised, and we that are alive and remain are going to be caught up together with them in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Oh, it just gets better and better, and I don't think you can get any better than heaven. And I think that's where Jesus is, and that's where we'll be throughout the ages of eternity. And you think it's going to be a miserable place and boring. I was in a discussion not long ago, right before we came to camp. And these were quite learned, educated, theologically minded people discussing whether or not we would eat food in heaven. They really were hoping so. we were bantering that about, or they were, and I just got in on the tail end of it, and my two cents was, I hope so. Sauerbraten every day in heaven. Now, some of you are saying Chinese food, that wouldn't be heaven. That would be maybe not the other place, but that wouldn't be heaven. But whatever you want, it's going to be great. Jesus ate in a glorified body. We got that far with our discussion. But whether or not you eat in heaven or don't eat in heaven, whether or not your dog goes to heaven or your dog doesn't go to heaven, look, heaven is where Jesus is. Heaven's home. And one of these days we're going to cross the finish line and we're going to be home. Paul said to be with Jesus Christ. It's far better. Far better. And I can't really understand that. I don't know that I could say that really as Paul the Apostle did. I'm in a strait betwixt two. I don't look at it so much as I'm in a strait betwixt two. He said, you know, I'd rather die and go to be with Christ. Maybe he saw something that I haven't yet seen. Maybe he knew something that I haven't yet uncovered and discovered. Maybe he really had a deeper desire and love and understanding of Jesus. I don't know. Or maybe he was just being badgered around too much and he was ready to go home. But whatever, to be with Christ, I'd rather go right now. It's far better. But for you, it's needful that I'm still here. So I'll hang around for your sake. But I want to go home. And one of these days, we will. By God's grace. If we've got the third verse understood, then the fourth verse will one day become a reality. And so when we sing it, I'm not disparaging the creation part. Thank God. It's wonderful, tremendous. It's amazing. But I can't hold that up to the cross and the blood and Jesus Christ giving himself and eternal life. That to me beats all. And so as we sing it, I mean, I know we've sung this song a million times and or maybe less, but we can just sing it right from our hearts as worship to the Lord. Maybe we need to have it overwhelm us once again. Maybe that thought to some of us who get so used to it, we don't even think about it too much anymore. There were two songwriters, or one songwriter and a preacher went out to eat. That's probably a rarity, but a songwriter and a preacher went out. Songwriter's name was Frank Boggs. He wrote songs and he sang them. Anybody remember Frank Boggs? You have to be old. Oh, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that, Sister Elsie. Yeah, you have to be maybe around my age or so. Frank Boggs was a singer. And he went out to eat with a man named Vance Havner. Anybody ever hear of Vance Havner? Okay, more of you have heard of Vance Havner. He's written some devotions. The two of them went out to eat, and they went to a fancy restaurant. And as you know, the fancier the restaurant, the more they turn the lights off. I don't know how that works. Go to McDonald's. You could at least see. But you don't have to, because you all know what you're getting before you go in there. Happy Meals or whatever you're going to get. But the fancy restaurants, they dim the lights, and sometimes on the tables, I mean, I don't know what they do. I trip on the way in because I missed the step. I don't see where I'm going. Then they sit down, and the waiter comes over, and he hands you the menu. And I open the menu, and I thought, oh, forget about it. Joyce, order something, for I can't see a thing on that thing. Or I try to go up to the candle, and I'm trying to look at it without burning the menu. And I try to get some. Well, these two went into a restaurant. They were given the menu, and that's the way they felt. Because it had been so bright, sunny outside, but when they got into the restaurant, it was a little dim and dark, and so when they got the menu, they couldn't see. Their eyes hadn't yet adjusted. But after a few minutes, their eyes began to adjust to the dimness of the restaurant, and they began to be able to read the menu very clearly. It didn't take them long anymore to have to study it or whatever, hold it up to the light. They could see it. And they commented to one another how they're getting accustomed to the dark. Well, Vance Havner went out of there and he wrote a devotional like Vance Havner is prone to doing in situations like that. And he wrote about how we should never get used to the dark. Never get accustomed to it. Don't let it dumb you down. Don't let it bring you to their level. Don't get used to the dark. Don't grow accustomed to it. And maybe we've grown accustomed to some of these truths that are so precious. Jesus, we pray tonight that we'll see the cross and we'll see the Christ who died for us. Lord, It's religion 101. It's Christianity 101. It's rudimentary. But yet, it's the deepest truth that we could come to grips with. I would, Lord, that you would help me to understand your love. That I would understand what it meant for you to go to the cross. That you would help me to unpackage the length and the breadth and the depth and the height. It passes knowledge. But Lord, by your Spirit, reveal to us the wonder of it all. The wonder of it all. Just to think that you love us. I scarce can take it in. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you'll melt every one of our hearts. Move among us tonight, Lord, in the few moments we have together. We pray, Lord, that as we see you, we'll bow before you. We'll just love you. And we'll worship you. For you alone, and you alone, are worthy. Amen. Let's sing that third and fourth stanza. And when I think that God
there. He is a friend so true. No matter
together. I think it's number 9. Come now, found. Number 9.
Streams of mercy never cease in call for
Lord.